Welcome to the Trending Show. Now here is your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Welcome one and all to the podcast, made possible thanks to Cobra Electronics, where I gather up all the week's top trends and serve them direct to you. Let me tell you about all the things in the world that are trending and some stuff I made up. Monday's hottest search item was Blake Griffin, who I immediately imagine wears a pink polo and really tiny white shorts and casually slings a tennis racket over his shoulder wherever he goes. Blake Griffin. Oh, this is a real person and not a supporting character on Melrose Place? Turns out old Blake Griffin, who bounces a ball for the Los Angeles Clippers, was rumored to have slapped Justin Bieber. Well, fear not, true believers. This story was a hoax, and the site that got the most traffic for debunking the rumor was NewsOK.com. I'm not familiar with this site, but I had to watch a video of theirs called Press Row to obtain the information. Press Row is hosted by a female so unremarkable, I neither recall her name nor her face, and by Barry Trammell, who showed up for this Press Row taping fresh out of bed and apparently with no clue cameras would be on him. This guy had no stage presence whatsoever and was either improperly mic'd or improperly equipped with a voice suitable for broadcast, and he also needed to introduce his hair to a brush. It wasn't until the 7-minute mark of this insufferable News OK video that the Blake Griffin Justin Bieber story came up, and by then I had basically forgotten it. How did this Barry Trammell guy get on camera anywhere? I wanted to know more about him. So I turned to Wikipedia, my resource for semi-true information, but it's as if Barry doesn't exist. Who is this man of mystery?
The secret origin of Barry Trammell's on-air career.
Guys, we've turned down Barry Trammell 39 times out of 39 auditions. Now he's out there in the hall right now sobbing next to some poor nondescript girl, and I feel terrible. What if we make up some low-budget webcam kind of show and just throw him a bone? Is he funny? No. Is he charismatic? No. Does he make interesting points? Our tests show that he does not. He's got the visual appeal of an IRS document, and he should probably never be in front of a camera that is turned on. But nobody looks at News OK for the news anyway. And I can't watch a grown man with bedhead cry.
People were amused that KTLA's Sam Rubin took a verbal shellacking from Samuel L. Jackson. In a live interview, Rubin, who had just been talking about the Marvel film Captain America: The Winter Soldier, is then joined by Samuel L. Jackson, who does play Nick Fury in that movie. The trailer for this movie aired during the Super Bowl, but it seems like Jackson was unaware they were discussing the Captain America movie and that KTLA had shown some images from it just before he was connected live to the interview. And so what happens is this. Rubin asks Jackson if he's heard much feedback from his Super Bowl commercial, and Jackson, not being aware of the Marvel movie discussion that had just ended, thinks that Rubin is recalling the Lawrence Fishburne commercial from the Super Bowl. So, Jackson jumps all over Rubin, thinking he has mistaken him for Lawrence Fishburne, and several incredibly uncomfortable moments of live TV follow. Not quite as amusing on Monday was the term Flappy Birds. That's the mobile game reviewed as equal parts frustrating and addictive. The story had legs into Tuesday as well, since the game's creator, Dong Nguyen, decided to pull the game from the iTunes store where it had dominated the sales charts. The game, he felt, was too addictive, and he designed it just to be played for a few minutes when relaxing, but watched online as people discussed the ways in which it took over their lives. In the wake of pulling the game on Sunday night, Dong received numerous death threats, most likely from the kind of people that, without a keyboard in front of them, would run and cower from any face-to-face interaction with Dong. Now, I've never played Flappy Birds, but I'm all for mindless, repetitious games. That's why I love Tetris. But what really intrigues me is Dong Nguyen, the Vietnamese game developer that would only give interviews with the condition that his face never be shown, and was late to meet with Forbes magazine because he was in a closed-door session with Vietnam's deputy prime minister. At its height, Flappy Birds was generating $50,000 a day in ad revenue for Nguyen. Yes, $50,000 a day.
The secret plot of the Vietnamese Game Developers Conference.
Dong, we need you to enslave the minds of the American youth with something mindless and repetitious. Fuel their addiction for more until all the ad revenue comes pouring in. We will obtain the Ion Correlator, the Hydromaster, and the G.I. Joe's Laser Core, and assemble them into the Weather Dominator and rain lightning down on Washington, D.C. Ha 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 ha!
Even if Vietnam succeeds in building the weather dominator, we here in the US of A will have real American heroes like Cobra Electronics on the case. And their all-new Cobra CWR-200, which is designed with ruggedness and harsh conditions in mind. It's an all-hazards alert weather radio. Built with large rubberized grips on either side, the CWR-200 comes with a built-in LED flashlight that allows the user to illuminate surroundings no matter what the lighting conditions might be. And the Cobra CWR-200 hits the market in April. You can expect this wonderful gizmo to retail for under $40. Tuesday was a slow news day, and I can say that with some confidence because the term Bob Costas' left eye was searched up 250,000 times. Bob got something in his eye while covering the Winter Olympics in Sochi, and he got replaced by the clear-eyed Matt Lauer. Tuesday's most prominent news story was the death of Shirley Temple, who was last trending about 40 years ago. Temple was that adorable child star that rose to fame in the 1930s, you know, right around the time radio was getting popular. Alas, she didn't stay a child forever, and she grew up to be the U.S. ambassador to Czechoslovakia. Seriously, from 1989 to 1992. And in the 70s, she was the U.S. ambassador to Ghana. I'm guessing those weren't hotbeds for political turmoil during her years of service. Although, I might be underestimating the soothing qualities of On the Good Ship Lollipop being sung by a middle-aged woman. Shirley Temple, my drink of choice, was 85 years old when she died late Monday night of natural causes. She leaves behind a cavalcade of awards and honors, as well as her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Lots of Olympic trends on Wednesday, but man, I just can't get into that. Every time I want to watch Almost Human on demand, I've got to hear that Comcast pitch about every medal on every screen or whatever they're trying to entice me with. Listen about the Olympics. Speaking for all of the United States, hear me, world. Just give us all the medals. We'll give you financial aid even though we don't have the money. We'll come and fight your wars when you tick off your crazy neighbors. Then we'll stay too long, corrupt your culture, and just take over, but make things better, okay? Just give us all the medals. We're going to need to melt them down to pay out all that foreign aid. Sid Caesar, the legendary ruler of Rome, died at the age of 91. His eyebrows were, to put it mildly, out of friggin' control. Plushenko was also trending on Wednesday. That's the adaptation of the famous Price is Right game, but played with stuffed animals. And Derek Jeter was trending, as the handsome Yank has said he is tired of being paid millions of dollars for playing catch. Thursday was a mix of stories about the Winter Olympics and Valentine's Day. Yeah, it always falls on the 14th. But a few other stories managed to bubble up to the top as well. One of them was about Kendall Jenner's nipples, and, as you have immediately guessed, she's one of them Kardashians. She aspires to be a model. That's the most ambitious thing she can possibly aspire to. Change the world, Kendall, through judiciously selected moments of nudity. Nicki Minaj was trending on Thursday, and you know this is not because she did something smart or kind or respectful. No. In conjunction with her new man-bashing single, the title of which includes the N-word, so I won't be repeating it here, she has tied a photo of Malcolm X holding a gun, which, unfortunately, she did not bother to clear with Malcolm X's family or estate. After criticism from Malcolm X's family circulated, Nicki Minaj did the only responsible thing she could. She posted this on her Instagram account, quote, "I apologize to the Malcolm X estate if the meaning of the photo was misconstrued. I have nothing but respect and adoration for you. Using just the letter U and not typing out the word Y-O-U at the end of the message. Respect the native tongue of the platform. That is something Nicki Minaj can respect." A few hours later, Minaj was threatened by a man with an unlikely hairdo and sharp adamantium claws, and she had the Malcolm X photo pulled. In a statement posted to the Legacy Virus subreddit by a Mr. Underscore Sinister, the anonymous Redditor claims to have created Nicki Minaj from strains of DNA he obtained from both Dazzler and Storm. Way down the list was a story that almost didn't trend. Almost. About an art house film called 12 O'Clock Boys. It chronicles the real-life story of an 11-year-old named Pug, who wants to run with a dangerous gang that rides ATVs through Baltimore popping wheelies. Pug's had a hard life, says his mother Coco, seemingly not realizing how naming a boy Pug might impact the trajectory of his life. I watched 5 seasons of The Wire. After most of those episodes, I needed to take a shower. You mean to tell me the big issue facing Baltimore these days is a gang of kids that pop wheelies on their ATVs? I don't know what's happened there in the 6 years since The Wire ended, but it sounds like Baltimore is on the upswing for a change. 12 O'Clock Boys will get limited release later this year after playing some film festivals, and it's rated 93% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes as of this recording. My pal Deanigan left me a great 5-star review in the iTunes store, and because my self-esteem hinges entirely on the praise of strangers, Deanigan is my hero this week. But who will save me next week? It could be you if you take to the iTunes store and leave me your 5-star review, complete with glowing praise. And you know I will not accept anything less than 5 stars, right? Nothing less. And the week drew to a close with Friday's very biggest story as actress Ellen Page told the world she's gay at the Time to Thrive conference in Las Vegas. Given the nature of this podcast and her appearance in 2 X-Men films, I am tempted to make the easiest Kitty Pryde joke I can think of. Well, that's how this would typically work anyway. But I admire Ellen's courage, and I hope she inspires courage in others, especially when oppressive lawmaking, the likes of which has cast a very dark shadow over the Olympic Games in Russia, is trying to induce fear or trepidation. Life is plenty hard as it is without having to live in fear of persecution for just being you. You know, that's one of 2 very important lessons I learned growing up on the X-Men. The other is, if you marry your great love's genetic clone, she is going to unleash the hordes of hell upon New York City, and you will probably have to send your son to the future where they have bigger guns. When he returns, he'll be all grown up, he'll have this wonky eye, and it will be very confusing. Those are the 2 main lessons I gleaned from hundreds of X-Men comics. Tolerance and acceptance, and the thing about the Goblin Queen and time travel. So, way to go, Miss Page. Nothing could compete with that story, but somehow Cheesecake Factory managed to trend a bit on Friday. My initial instinct was that people were searching for Cheesecake Factory to make Friday night reservations. Yeah, it always falls on the 14th. But instead, it was because they posted 2.2% increase in growth in their quarterly financial report, putting them far ahead of competitors Ruby Tuesdays and Red Lobster. Ruby and Red have been losing ground to the tune of 5-7% annually. While the 181-restaurant Cheesecake Factory chain is not adding new restaurants very aggressively, they are still staying ahead of the pack. Red Lobster is up for sale, and Ruby Tuesdays is in the process of closing 30 restaurants. One final trend from Friday: a fairly unlikely occurrence of a wardrobe malfunction. Sweden's Henrik Harlott was rocking the freestyle skiing men's ski slopestyle competition, which wins the gold for being the most cumbersome and redundant sport name to hit my rundown. But while he was being gnarly, or whatever the current equivalent of that phrase is, his pants decided they'd had enough and wanted to go back to the lodge, leaving Henrik's bright blue undies on display for the judges. A heavy favorite to be the top man skier in the freestyle skiing men's ski slopestyle for men competition, his wardrobe malfunction earned him the less than stellar place of 7th. This concludes my coverage of the Winter Olympics from Sochi, and likewise concludes this episode of The Trending Show. Before we meet again, loyal trendies, make sure to break into someone's house, access their iTunes library, and subscribe them to this podcast. Or kill 2 birds with 1 stone. When subscribing them, leave me their 5-star review right then and there. Economize. Adios, amigos.